Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Keyser with you on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. We have a lot of things to get into when it comes to the Predators, the tournament, and, of course, the Tennessee Titans. Max Herr is going to join us at the end of this hour. Talk about the Preds matchup against Buffalo tonight. Gentry Estes of the Tennessean will join us at the bottom of the next hour, 10:30 to be precise. And we'll get his thoughts on all the moves of the Titans and what has happened there. Michelle, what's up? How are we feeling today?
Feeling good, feeling good. This was a, you know, some mornings are earlier than others, but we're good. Had that drive to MTSU last night. It's always always a tough drive, but we didn't hit any crazy traffic. So doing good this morning, and shout out to Gavin. Spoke to my class last night. You've spoken to class, so.
Very cool. I'm excited because Nick McDevitt's going to join Caroline Willie and D-Mace later today to give his thoughts on FAU. Obviously, MTSU saw FAU three times this year, beat him once, and really put up a fight in the conference tournament.
That was tough.
Which was a crazy game to watch, but so we'll talk to him. It's always fun, you know, this time of year to get some basketball coaches from the area to kind of play analyst, because they can talk about these teams that they played against and they've seen and stuff. So obviously they would rather be playing.
Yeah.
But,
you know. No, 100%. I mean, Belmont, you know, switching over to the Missouri Valley, Drake in the Missouri Valley, they put up a pretty good fight against Miami. Miami's one of the teams moving on to the Sweet 16. But yeah, it's exciting. My class actually was saying, you know, they would have just. It was such a close game. If they would have won, we could have had potentially MTSU in Tennessee, which would have been kind
of
cool.
That would have been wild. So look forward to that at 1 o'clock. But I want to start with the Titans because I, you know, this is one of those. I got bored last night, and I started thinking about, you know, the famous phrase is always, if the season ended today, well, what if the season started today for the Tennessee Titans? Who would you start on both offense and defense? And I started writing it down. I looked at the roster, and as the roster is currently constructed, pre-draft, obviously, and my initial reaction was, woof. Because that's kind of where they're at right now. But I thought it was an interesting exercise, because I think two of the biggest question marks are guys that I would currently start, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry. Now, the longer this goes, I feel like that those two guys are going to be back, but I think you got to get through the draft before you really, really know for sure. But, you know, the top three starters on offense, Tannehill, who only played in 12 games last year, Henry played in 16 of 17, Burks played in 11 with 33 receptions and 444 yards. That's your top three offensive starters. And then beyond that, it's kind of like, let's see. Would wide receiver two for me right now would be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have – he is the only one in your receiver room who played 14 games last year. He's the only one who has actually done back-to-back seasons in the NFL right now. I mean, Treylon Burks still is a big question mark. I understand the ceiling he potentially could have, but still a question mark. I mean, the ability to be durable and be out there every single game is so valuable in this league. And when Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is your wide receiver two and you have a rookie as your wide receiver one who still is unproven, it's concerning, Chase.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, Treylon Burks right now on paper is wide receiver one, but as you just said, we have these question marks of, can he be wide receiver one? What is he going to be coming into camp? Jonathan Hutton was on our show yesterday and said Burks has to be wide receiver one.
Well, I mean, the reality is their best path is to try to win with Henry and with Tannehill and just eat those contracts this year. Restructure adjustments there could cost you potential cap space in the future. And I don't think there's a good argument to do that. And they have very little financial commitment beyond this season to those two, Tannehill and Henry. And that points now to Treylon Burks. They're hurt in two areas. There's not enough guys they drafted that they wanted to re-sign, meaning elite talent, or they just don't have enough players on those rookie deals. And the ones they do have, those guys have to be able to produce at a much higher rate than what they did a year ago. And Burks is at the top of the list. You trade away A.J. Brown, and you go with pick 16, and it's a wide receiver first round. I mean, there was five taken in the ahead of him, and Burks ends up being your guy. They need him to hit because he's very – I think he's a he has the pure talent to be a number one, but he's got to prove it. We didn't see him take the field as a rookie the same way A.J. did. And fair or not, that's exactly the comparison that he's going to face until he produces to a high level. And he's very capable of that. But it's a bit of an unknown because he got ready for the draft and then he wasn't ready for OTAs and minicamp. And that was alarming. So now it's time to come in ready to go. And he needs to be Tannehill's number one.
And I feel like he will be. I feel like, and this could be, I could be proven very, very wrong here. But I feel like, Michelle, that the preparation last year was, we talked about it, preparing for the combine, preparing for the draft, not necessarily preparing for the season. I feel like that this year he's going to come in much better shape. He's going to be prepared to be a football player and not go to the underwear Olympics, and you're going to see a big difference because he needs to be great out of the gate. Like, he has to be. And so I feel like you're going to see a different Treylon Burks. And one reason I say that is when he was hurt, one of the times he was hurt last year, Mike Vrabel was asked about him, and Vrabel was very complimentary of the work that mm-hmm. Treylon had put in during the time he was out. You know, the extra work in the classroom, in the playbook, in meetings, the rehab that he's going through. And that really stood out to me, and I think you saw that. You saw that pay off. And so if he can put a whole offseason together with that, which I believe he has, then you're going to see him show up and be a wide receiver one.
I thought the same thing when Mike Vrabel made those comments when Treylon Burks was fighting to get back on the field. He had the turf toe injury. Then he ended up having the concussion. I thought the same thing, right? He's attentive in meetings, and he's trying to be fully bought in and be ready to go right back in the field and not skip a beat when he's missed time. But I also look at that and think that's in season. That's everybody's at the facility every day. That's you have a game every Sunday. That's we're fighting for a playoff spot. That's full football mode in season. My question is, yeah, I understand he's going to be training for the NFL and it's going to be different than when he was training for the combine. But a lot of the work you have to do in the offseason is self-motivation and determination and being able to do it on your own. I mean, look at Derrick Henry every offseason. Goes down to Dallas and trains like a maniac to be the type of athlete he is. I look at the compliments that Mike Vrabel made of Treylon Burks in season. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal that he did that. And he was attentive and he was doing everything he could to get on the field. But a lot of the offseason and a lot of when, you know, you're training for camp and for your next season, a lot of that is on you. It's not your coaches, you know, looking at film every day, right? They're trying to build a roster and do that part of their job. They're not with you every day watching film and having somewhere you can go. I know that they have, you know, you can train with people and things like that, but my point is a lot of it is going to be on him. We can say he should be at that level, but a lot of it will be on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to do the work. Trent Dilfer used to always call it the quiet time. That's what, you know, Treylon Burks has been working on for sure. So those are the three that are easy, you know, when it comes to the offense. The rest, not so much. I mean, maybe I'll say Chigakonkwo. Okay, that's easy. Chigakonkwo mm-hmm. should be the starting tight end. Played in 17 games last year. This is what I didn't know when I was looking at this. His numbers and Treylon Burks' numbers are basically the same.
Not surprising.
32 catches, 450 yards, 3 touchdowns, compared to 33 catches, 444 yards, 1 touchdown. The only difference is Chig played in 17 games, and there were times that Todd Downing didn't know he was on the team. So there was that. But Chigakonkwo, tight end two, which they like to run a lot of two tight end sets, we have no idea right now because I think he's the only tight end on the roster.
Yeah, and there was a report yesterday that Austin Hooper was going to visit with the Raiders, so it looks like he is probably not going to re-sign with the Tennessee Titans. So then you ask the question, what does your tight end room look like? What do the other weapons look like for Ryan Tannehill? We already discussed the receiver room. Okay, we're looking at the tight end room. Chig and Jeff Swaim. That's literally all you have right now. And I know that the Swaim...
Was Swaim even on the... I thought he was a free agent.
Well, he's not re-signed.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of the same deal as Hooper. I think the guy signed to the roster under contract, I think it's Chigakonkwo and that's it.
And, you know, we talked about this morning and Joe was like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they re-signed him to have depth at that position.
But they have Thomas, let's see, Kevin Rader. I don't know who that is. Justin Rigg, I don't know. Kentucky. I still don't know who that is. I mean, these are guys that are going to be camp guys that are tight ends. And they're listed on, I mean, Swaim and Hooper are still listed on the roster too. But I think Swaim's a free agent. But it's
so concerning. That room, you know, when you talk about what are your weapons for your quarterback, you look at the offense last year. Okay, you've got the receiver room, very thin. Treylon Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You have Chigakonkwo. I'm not even going to put the other tight ends in that conversation. And then you have Derrick Henry and need to get a deal done with Dontrell Hilliard because I think that that's a must.
Yeah, I would like that.
And then Hassan Haskins, question mark. He's the rookie running back that you guys drafted last year.
Yeah, and I look for him to take a step forward. So the other one that I have is, I guess, not necessarily a starter, but a guy that I think they're hoping can really take leaps and bounds is Kyle Phillips. I'm not 100% convinced he's on the roster, but right now he is, and you're hoping that he can come in to training camp and show you something. He's really got to show something because I think they looked at him as, and we all did, there was a lot of hype with him. You know, can he be the slot receiver that they want? And he was hurt. And so I think that, you know, in this new era with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, you're seeing there's not a lot of patience for guys that can't stay on the field. Your best ability is your availability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I think they look at Kyle Phillips. So I'm very curious to see if he can make any kind of impact at all.
Well, for Kyle Phillips, the way I look at it is he had no problem transitioning from college to training camp last year. He was one of the stars of camp.
Yep.
I don't think that'll be any different this year. I really don't. I think the question is going to come down to, do we think that he's a guy, if he's too small for the NFL, do we think, you know, because when you're a slot, you've got linebackers hitting you. I mean, I've stood next to Kyle Phillips in the locker room. He's a small guy. He has a very small frame. So I think it's going to come down to, I mean, do they believe that he's too small? Was he able to put weight on this offseason? But I don't think camp will be the question. I think it'll come down to his size, Chase.
Tennessee's own Dante Hightower has just announced on Twitter that he's retiring from the National Football League. So the three-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots hanging it up, tweeting out, "It's been a hell of a ride and a career beyond my wildest dreams. It's time to hang him up from the bottom of my heart. Thank you to everyone who played a part." So, he tweeted that out, and then I think he did something on the Players Tribune as well. So Dante Hightower, heck of a career. The Titans have made some moves on the coaching staff this morning. We'll tell you about those and also look at the offensive line and the defense coming up next. It's Chase and Michelle. Feel free to weigh in, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com here on 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Left tackle is definitely what I have my eyes set on. That's my goal. It's, you know, I'm gonna compete, give everything I have to get that spot, but obviously you know, I'm willing to do whatever is best for the team at the end of the day, but left tackle is definitely what I have my sights set on.
Titans offensive lineman Andre Dillard from yesterday being introduced. They introduced five of their new free agents to the media yesterday, to everybody. I had a chance to talk to them. They also signed cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so add him to the free agent class. And then just a few minutes ago, Mike Vrabel announced three more additions to his coaching staff, adding Matt Jones, not from Kentucky Sports Radio, but to serve as offensive line assistant coach, and then Tom Quinn and Anthony Levine will join the special teams staff. So adding those two as assistant coaches on the special teams side of the ball. So that coming out just a few minutes ago, Quinn was with, after 16 seasons with the New York Giants, working with special teams, going all the way back to 2006. So crazy to think about that. Levine enters the coaching ranks after a 10-year standout career as an NFL special teams player. He was with Baltimore, so he just retires and then becomes a coach. And then Jones will join the Titans after spending four seasons at the University of Tennessee Martin. So UT Martin.
Local guy.
Yep. So he was the team's run game coordinator and tight end offensive tackle coach with the Skyhawks. So they joined the Tennessee Titans. But kind of looking at where the Titans are at right now when it comes to their starters on both offense and defense, and we left off with the offensive line. A week ago, this was very, very cloudy. Now it's starting to make a little more sense. You heard in the cut there, Michelle, Andre Dillard has his eyes on being the starting left tackle, and I would say right now, today, that is the case. He will be the starting left tackle.
I mean, I feel more confident in him than anybody who played that position last year, and I think I can say that pretty confidently saying that, because it was just such a – you just didn't – a question mark last year. I mean, at least Andre Dillard, he played snaps for – maybe not at tackle, but he played snaps at guard for the Eagles. He was a first-round draft pick not too long ago. I think he's only 26 years old. Is he going to be good? I don't know. But is it more promising than what the team had before? I think so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be at this point with how bad it was last year. But I'm curious to see how he will work out at left tackle. The question remains left guard. I don't think they have that. If you're going by guys on the roster by default, you could hypothetically keep Brewer there and put Corey Levin at center. But I think with the move they made last week, giving the second round tender to Aaron Brewer is going to be the starting center for the Tennessee Titans.
I agree.
So that opens up left guard. It's not going to be Dylan Raidens. I can tell you that. But I still think that's one that's going to be addressed either with some free agents that remain or the draft.
Hopefully and.
Yeah, I would say and. I don't see them picking a guard at 11.
No.
You know, I think 11 remains. If there's somebody you really, really like that's there, you take them. If not, you're going to move out of it. I think that's probably going to be something that gets answered on draft night when it comes to the Titans. And so that remains the piece. As I said, Brewer at center, Daniel Brunskill, who was introduced yesterday, comes in and I believe is the right guard. I mean, I guess he could hypothetically be the left guard, you know, so you could put him in either guard spot. And then right now, Nicholas Petit-Frere is the right tackle.
Yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned it. Are they going to make maybe another move in free agency? Are they going to try to address it in the draft this year? You mentioned their pick number 11. I see them going with either a tackle at that pick or a wide receiver, because when you look at this team, not for right now, but for the future, those are going to be in the category of your biggest needs. I mean, I look at the moves that Rand Carthon has made this offseason. They had Mike Vrabel. They're not flashy moves. They're not giving people big contracts. They're not go-for-it moves. They're not we're in our Super Bowl window right now moves. So, you know, when you take a look at pick 11, I think that drafting either a tackle or a wide receiver, because you're going to need to grow, you're going to need to have depth at your line, which is something that kicked them in the butt this year, not having depth at that position. I mean, that also was some of their draft picks just not working out, like Dylan Radins, you mentioned, Isaiah Wilson, things like that. But I look at this line right now and you feel a lot more confident in it than you did maybe a week and a half ago. And you can actually start to see what it's going to look like, how they're going to play together. I don't know, but I think we could assume that it probably will be better than last year's offensive line, because it was somebody gets hurt, stick another person in there. Taylor Lewan starts off the year, then he tears his ACL again, and Ben Jones is in there, and then he gets a concussion, and it was plug and play, plug and play, plug and play throughout the entire year. And one of the most important things is being able to have your line work cohesively at practice after practice after practice. So maybe they go out and get a guard. I've been really high on the Roger Saffold idea, bringing him back here, maybe for a 2-year, $8 or $9 million deal. But he has to be willing to. So,
and that's going to be, that is going to be the question. So yes, to your point, that offensive line, even though right now I'm not going to say it's absolutely great, it's better than last year. From, you know, I would love to have a healthy Ben Jones. I mean, if Ben Jones was healthy, I think, yeah, I would be okay putting Brewer back at left guard and or one of the guard spots, mm-hmm, and put Ben Jones at center. But I just – and I know there's been some reports that he still wants to play. He's not going to hang it up. I wonder what the market's going to be for him at this point.
Especially with the back-to-back concussions, yeah, and playing that role for so long in the league, blocking for Derrick Henry, it beats up your body.
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of where we're at when it comes to the offensive line. We haven't even gotten to the defense yet. We've spent a
so
lot
much to
of
talk
time
about.
Spent a lot of time on the offense. I got to shout out Mike on the text line because I was hoping somebody would pick up on this. Great out of the gate campaign from Chase. Love it. The suit for Prez. So that needs to be. Remember Vrabel a few years ago had, we're going from good to great. They need to be great out of the gate. That needs to be on a t-shirt.
There you go. I like that. I like that saying.
That might be where we go. Dustin from Hopkinsville says maybe Burks got hooked up with Rodgers and went into 90% darkness.
Oh, gosh. Hey, if that helps you focus and gets you ready, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Still nothing new with old A-Rod.
I think the Packers are going to hold out for a very, very long time.
Yeah. And then he could – but – Rodgers still holds all the cards because he could be like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to retire. Then you get nothing.
Technically.
He could. Yeah. He could totally do that. And then you get nothing.
So, but I think he wants to play. And I think the Packers know that he wants to play for the Jets.
I think he changes with every given day.
True. He did say he was 90% on the retirement train before he went into darkness.
Exactly. Coming up next, we will look at the Titans defense. We'll get into some hoops in the 10 o'clock hour as well. And Max Herz joins us at the end of the hour here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Why what?
Why have the teams let you go?
I mean, so with me and San Fran, they told me straight up, we can't offer you anything. If we offer you something, it'll be disrespectful to you. So go test the market out and see. With Jacksonville, it was a shock to me. I ain't gonna lie. After the year, I thought I was gonna be a Jacksonville Jaguar, but I felt disrespected because I came over there, built up the culture, brought a whole lot of energy, changed the city, changed the town, and I felt like I was in my rightful mind. I was gonna be a Jacksonville Jaguar, but that didn't happen. I still love the player, love the teammate, love the city, love the fans. But, yeah, we got to see him twice.
Arden Key yesterday. Oh, I love it. Back here chasing Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That was him yesterday being introduced. Was that PK? I think that was PK that asked the question.
Yeah.
About, you know, why he's left different teams and everything. I kind of thought that, too, that he'd end up staying with Jacksonville, but – When it came out that the Titans had signed him, I got excited because I like that guy as a player, and then you just listening to him right there, he's going to bring some energy. And the thing that I think that this team needs more of and Vrabel likes, a little bit of attitude.
He's got that dog mentality. I mean, even just calling out the Jags in his opening presser gives me a little throwback to Danico Autry. And every time he plays the Colts, he just plays out of his mind. And listen, if you got somebody from a divisional opponent, and they can play out of their mind and have career games in two times a year for you.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I love that. We got to play him twice.
There you go. I think he's excited to play him twice. Oh, yeah. No, but Chase, I think you mentioned something. I mean, that's the type of attitude, that's the type of player that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon want to have in their locker room. They want somebody with this dog, I love football, I'll do whatever it takes to play football on Sundays. And not only getting guys who can be productive on the field, but also match that culture.
Oh, yeah. Match the culture for sure. By the way, I'm going to put this on the record right now. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't think the Titans are going to be on primetime much this year. Everybody pretty much gets a Thursday game. But for whatever reason, I just have a feeling. I think Titans-Jags in Jacksonville will be a Monday night football game.
Oh, Jags will start to get some more national games, especially after their – but them, yeah.
Yeah, I think Titans at Jags Monday night. There's intrigue there because, you know, maybe that's the first matchup and that's the rematch since the de facto playoff game for the division. So I think I'm just gonna note that and just say
who's
that.
Who's gonna win?
That's my I'm trying to figure out the roster right now. I don't know. Right now I would say the Jags are favored by 6.5.
Yeah, I was gonna say 5.5.
Yeah, so I would put it there. But this defense, now we know that Jeffrey Simmons, they got to get the contract done, but he's back, we think, mm-hmm. barring any kind of craziness. Danico Autry, Pop-Tart gets a second-round tender, so he should be back. They should get that done. Everything's fine there. So those three. Harold Landry, you know, who's a guy that I kind of think we forget about because he was mm-hmm. out the entire season. You know, what is Harold Landry?
But the year before he tore his ACL, I mean, double-digit sacks.
Balled out.
Was out there every single game, was a durable player. And we, as a lot of our shows, media, were saying, you know, this guy needs to get a contract. He is the number one to do in the offseason. You got to sign him to a big contract. He's durable and then tears the ACL before camp. And you're right, we forget about him, but he was such a crucial piece to this defense the year before last when they were the one seed, double-digit sacks, and out there every single game. But with this, with an ACL, I look at it differently than I look at a wide receiver just because of the built you are, right? His position, he's built a little bit bigger, a little bit more weight on that knee.
Yeah, I'm curious of, you know, with it happening in you know, early in training camp.
He got the full time to recover.
Yeah, so I think that will certainly help things. On the other side, when you're looking at pass rush, Arden Key, you know, I would say he'll take Bud Dupree's spot. You know, what kind of leap can Rashad Weaver take? And even though technically it's year three, really it's year two. Because he missed his whole rookie year. So, you know, those three, I would say Arden Key would be the starter at this point, but I'm feeling better about the linebacker room than I did, you know, this time last week.
I was just going to say, I agree. You know, we talked about them needing to fill a position in which they did, Arden Key, because Rashad Weaver, you mentioned, really only has had 2 years. We saw, I think, of the Chiefs game where, you know, Patrick Mahomes got out of the pocket, made some mistakes like that, but hopefully another year under his belt and also help with some of these more veteran guys will help him be able to take a next step next year.
Yeah, so I still like him. I think he's somebody that you want to have. Now, in the middle, they brought in Azeez Alshire that will go in the middle. To replace David Long, and then Monty Rice. You're hoping Monty Rice can take a step forward. You know, I think that's a position that they're going to look at in the draft mm-hmm. to potentially help things out. But right now, I would say it's Monty Rice and Azeez that'll be starting middle backer.
Which essentially, I mean, Monty Rice needs, we need to see things from him this year. I think it's going to be a prove it year for him. Aziz Alshayer, I love his name. It just sounds so, it really flows off the tongue.
So I've seen mixed reports, and this is what we need to figure out. And I don't know if he was asked this yesterday.
Name.
Is it Alshayer or Alshayer? Because I've heard both.
Aziz Alshayer.
Yeah, so I've heard it pronounced different ways. Well, so that, and I know by the seat, we'll figure this out. But
listen, I mean, Nick Westbrook, people were saying Nick Westbrook Akina. Wait. And it's Nick Westbrook
Akina. Or was it the other way? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We were saying it wrong for so long, and then he was like, it's actually this. And now I don't know which way to say it. So I just screwed myself
up. Okay. So here's the thing. I appreciate a player that will say, no, this is how you say it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like there are some of the Preds that, you know, the European guys are so nice that like I'll give you a prime example. Czech Republic, Martin Erat forever. Technically it's Erat, but we said Erat, and he basically changed his name because everybody was saying Erat, and that's what he's known as, but it was technically Erat. You know, Rene, we say Rene, it's more like
Rene.
So it just, you know, in hockey's different, but it's like, just tell me. And so there are guys that I would ask, like, how the hell do I say your name? Like, I want to get it right.
Did you know, not to go too off on a tangent, but Travis Kelce is actually Travis Kelce?
I did not know that.
There's an interview. He's like, yeah, my name's actually my last name's actually Kelce, but you know, everybody just said Kelce, so I just like went.
So
with
Jason,
it.
Jason did
their
too.
Their last
I
name
guess?
Is Kelce.
Huh. Well, there you go.
You can literally find the interview. He's like, yeah, I just kind of went.
People call me Maccabee, but it's which I don't know how you get that.
Like, I have so many funny pronunciations of my last name. I just credentials.
Yeah, yours I can understand.
But back to the defense.
Yeah, back to the defense. And then the cornerback room, which added Bunting Murphy yesterday for depth. I don't, you know, there's one guy that is on the roster right now that he's just over. He's in the dark room. That's where he is. He's with Aaron Rodgers. So I have Fulton McCreary. And then you can have Bunting Murphy that into the mix that – adds depth.
Technically, Caleb Farley.
Well, he's the one that's in the dark room.
Oh.
He's hanging out over there. And then Elijah Molden, you know. So I kind of look at it as Fulton, McCreary, Elijah Molden, and then I'll add Bunting Murphy into that kind of core four, and then Farley, whatever you get out of him is just gravy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be the core group of we're going to need to see some big steps next year, right? The question surrounding Christian Fulton will be, can he be a number one corner in this league? Especially, you know, last year on this contract, I think he's a free agent the following year. That's going to be a big question. Can he stay healthy? That group does make me a little nervous because we saw so many guys get injured last year. But I will say, you were able to find guys and plug them in to make, like an Andrew Adams, who were able to make plays for
you. And I hope they bring him back.
Yeah, in some crucial situations. Then Mitchell. Tyron Mitchell? I can't think of his first name right now. But Mitchell, they brought those guys in and they were able to, you know, work for the Tennessee Titans, make some plays. But, I mean, you need a guy like Christian Fulton to be on the field for you in and out. You need
Terrence Mitchell, that's who I'm thinking of.
You need Roger McCreary, who I think had a good rookie year. I think had some rookie moments, but he was available and he also may have had some rookie moments. Remember that one play he made and he threw it back. He got an interception, but he was falling out of bounds and he threw it back to whether it was somebody on the secondary. But, right, you saw a lot of great things from him, and that was one of their weakest areas. We talked about how good their defense was last year, but their secondary was pretty weak last year. I got the notification on Fantasy every week, and it was like, oh, these receivers are going against the Titans secondary. They're going to have a big game. Move them to your active roster. And I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. So the secondary is going to be huge for the defense this year, Chase.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. That's kind of where I have things with the starting 22. A lot of holes to be filled still, pre-draft, but just kind of a fun exercise to bring up. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators. We'll talk to Max Herz as the Preds take on Buffalo. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Kieser. We say hello to Max Herz, who joins us now, as he does every Tuesday. He'll be on pregame tonight, starting at 5 o'clock, as the Predators take on the Buffalo Sabres. And Max, how about this? You did a road game as pre-post the other night, but good to have Pete back on the road in his beloved Buffalo tonight.
I know. It's Pete is going to be bouncing off the walls of that broadcast booth tonight, telling everybody what HSBC stands for, and just spinning twine of Buffalo tales of old throughout the game. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's start with what this roster, you know, looks like right now. David Poile was on Robbie and Rex Road this morning and asked about the injuries. He did say that Ryan McDonagh is on the trip. He's going to go through morning skate today. There is a chance he could play tonight, which without Roman Josi would be a huge addition to have McDonagh back in the lineup if he's able to go.
Yeah, if he is medically cleared, I think you need to play him. And I think that's kind of how NHL teams operate anyway. I don't think you would hold somebody like that out while you still have a chance to make the playoffs this year. But, man, did we feel the absence of Roman Josi on Sunday against the Rangers. And if you ever doubt that Roman Josi is worth multiple goals a game in your team's favor, remember Sunday's game.
Yeah, and that was one that Preds fans and the team alike, you know, want to forget. I was kind of curious, you know, when we were sitting here in postgame, what John Hines would have to say about it. And, he was a little more forthcoming on things. Obviously, it was – you know, not what you want, but he brought up the young guys and how they can learn from that experience. You obviously don't want to make a habit of going through a game like that, but there certainly were some takeaways that the young guys can have as they move forward in their career.
Yeah, and I think getting to know these younger players and observing them in their early NHL time, obviously losing 7-0 and getting skunked in real life is terrible. And it's not something you ever want to happen. I think feeling that feeling is enough of a lesson as is. And it's not what you hear afterwards. It's playing 45 minutes of absolutely meaningless NHL hockey because you know you already lost. And I think that taste and that experience lets these guys know, hey, we just played one of the best teams. This is a team that's contending. This is a team that's added. They crushed us. They poured it on before we could even get a breath. And I don't ever want to play a meaningless second period again in my NHL career. And I think that part is what will resonate with the players under 25 for the Preds.
The Preds will match up with the Sabres tonight. Max will host pregame at 5 p.m. Nashville time. Max, taking a look at one of the veteran players, Matt Duchene, in the Rangers game, he had 0 shot attempts in almost 18 minutes. What do you think is going on with him, not having shot attempts, not even, you know, shots on goal? What is your take on that?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Michelle, I will move that stat to Saturday's game. I mean, Sunday, by the time stats meant anything, the stats were meaningless. The only thing that mattered is the Rangers scored on 6 straight shots. It was 6-0, and the Predators did not have a scoring chance during that stretch. But I'll go back to Saturday's game where Duchene not only did not have a shot on goal, he did not have a shot attempt, which means that he did not have a shot that missed the net or a shot that was blocked by a Jets player. And in the biggest game of the year, you need more from a guy like that. And he hasn't scored a point now in 6 games. He hasn't scored a goal in 9 games. You're at least going to need power play production from him if you're going to beat teams that are equal to you in the standings, like the Sabres are tonight pretty much, and they're struggling. So you're going to need at least power play production in games like this. And hopefully the Preds will have more power play chances than they've had. But I mean, you're going to need him to be a chance creator and a shot generator at all situations against teams that are better than you, like the Jets and the Rangers and many more of the teams that the Preds will see over the next couple of weeks.
How concerning is that from Matt Duchene, Max, in your opinion, especially as the schedule is starting to ramp up? They're still outside of a playoff spot, and he's a veteran guy that this team needs to count on if they're still trying to fight for that playoff spot.
Yeah, and they've gotten good production from Cody Glass, Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista, Phil Tomasino over the last few weeks, as Duchene's production has not been there. And I think if they can find a way to get all of that going at once, which, I mean, it should be easier to get all that going at once because Duchene is playing with two of those guys who I just said, in Glass and Tomasino, who I think are playing well in all situations. And, I mean, those guys in the game against the Blackhawks last Thursday, they both probably should have had 3 points in the first period. Instead, the Preds didn't score. But that line had amazing chances. All three of them would have gotten points on all three of those goals. Duchene set a couple of those up. He had one of the shots as well that didn't go. So, I mean, if they get better shots off, they have better numbers. But, I think on all of the shooting percentage numbers have been down for the team, whether it's team as a whole or individual players. And we're running out of time for that to regress positively in this season. But, I mean, Duchene is the best shooter on the team. I mean, even when Forsberg's healthy, you can make the argument that he's a better shooter than Philip Forsberg. You go back and forth all day on that one when those guys are at their best. But they need him to be their best goal scorer, and they need him to start scoring.
Max Herz on with us. Max, just looking at Cody Glass's progression throughout this year, do you believe that he can be a viable option for this Nashville Predators team as a starting center moving forward?
Yeah, and I think he's proven it in all aspects of his game recently, and he's about to turn 24 next week. He's growing up in the league in a lot of ways, and I think the most important thing for Glass was that he never really gotten a fair shake at the NHL level before, and maybe that's not the best way to put it because he hadn't exactly earned the long look, but he's gotten the long look that he finally needed. He'd never played 40 games in a season before. Some of that was because of the shortened COVID seasons when he was with the Golden Knights, but he's going to end up playing in 70-plus this year. And it feels like he was a healthy scratch for weeks on end back in October, November, but he wasn't a healthy scratch too long, and they brought him back originally in fourth-line minutes, then into the top 6 minutes that they always felt he needed once one of those center spots opened up and Mikhail Granlund got moved to the wing. And I think he's done everything you can ask for. And there's still blemishes there. There's still games where he's getting heavily beaten on faceoffs, but there are also games where he's winning 60%+ of his faceoffs. So we know he has that in him. And David Poile said it this morning with Joe and Robbie. They want him just to add some strength this summer, add some weight, work on his all-around game. And I think that alone will propel all the good things he's done this season. It's not only better quality minutes across the board and better work in the defensive zone, but also more point production too, and getting rewarded more for the good things he's done offensively, especially at even strength.
Well, Max, appreciate it today. And we'll see what happens tonight in Buffalo to wrap up this road trip. And then two against Seattle and one against Toronto as well, but appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Going to be a really fun week. I'm excited about all three of these opponents, none of which we have seen in a while. So three fun teams to watch that we're playing this week.
Absolutely. He is Max Herz. He will be on the pregame show tonight starting at 5 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, we'll get into some hoops and talk about the Vols. How are we feeling, Vols fans? We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.